And that majestic sound means that all is right with the world, because it is time for History Matters, taking a look back at this week in history with the one and only Scott Washington joining us now in the studio. How are you?
Well, I'm glad to be here with the one and only Aaron Keck. Hey. So I think that is a great thing, and it is such a good week with the holidays on bookending on either end,
right,
with Christmas and the New Year's Eve. I mean, how can you go wrong with a week like this?
And we're going to talk about this week in history, but like it's been a very quiet week news-wise, traffic-wise, just because it's the week between Christmas and New Year's.
It's cold, there's snow.
It's cold, there's snow. Erie, Pennsylvania's got, what are they up to now, 450 inches or something, like 60 inches, something ridiculous that they're up to. So everyone's staying in, everyone's got the week off, everyone's driving around, all the, you know, school's out of session,
right,
local boards aren't meeting, state government isn't meeting, Congress is wrapped up for the year, thank goodness. But this has been a really busy week historically. Like, a lot of stuff has happened.
Oh my gosh!
And one of the things that I appreciated was that on December 25th in 1812, the North Carolina General Assembly enacted a law creating the State Library of North Carolina, which is cool.
Is that right?
What really struck me was the fact that Christmas, as this like big uber holiday that takes up the entire month that everyone celebrates and stays home, is such a new phenomenon.
That's
that
right.
Barely 200 years ago, 200 years ago, the General Assembly of North Carolina thought nothing about just getting together and passing bills on Christmas Day.
Yes, I found that very interesting. I had to look at the date again and go, the 25th? What? That's a,
right?
And it raises a good question, too, about not only where these holidays come from, and certainly the Christmas holiday. Even ancient times, we have the winter solstice.
Right.
And those 12 days of Christmas, you wonder if the first hymn was, the carol was the 12 days of solstice.
Yes.
And it wouldn't have taken much of a change for Northern Europe to say, well, let's just expand that to Christmas.
Right.
But I think that makes a lot more sense. We perhaps wouldn't be as frenetic. We have Kwanzaa that has all those days. So that's a more modern invention begins this week. But still, it's really fascinating to see how history develops and how these themes come out.
Yeah.
And these times, like you're saying, how what we think of as, oh, it's always been this way, is not always been this way.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were talking before, and I don't remember what week this was, but I remember we were talking about the day in history when the Puritans in Massachusetts banned Christmas.
Yes.
It's like a sheriff of Nottingham and that Robin, and called off Christmas and slams the door because they thought celebrations and parties were ungodly and unchristian, so they banned it.
Well, the Pilgrims actually, if my understanding is right, began construction on what we would call Christmas Day, because it was not considered a day that you would set aside with great reverence. And in fact, I believe that it was Massachusetts made it illegal to celebrate Christmas due to the pagan background of the winter solstice.
Right.
For 22 years, between 1659 to 1681.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
What did they think about Easter? Because that's the spring festival, too, like land Easter.
That's right.
Like it's very, like you take the spring sort of planting fertility festival, and that's why there's rabbits and eggs all over the place with the Easter celebration.
Well, you have the mid-1750s that it's England finally declares that January 1st is now going to be, for the extent of Great Britain and its holdings, the start of the new year.
Right.
And prior to that, it was the spring solstice.
Yeah,
but because
that
varied, it meant that there were all kind of confusion about when legal documents constituted a new year.
Yeah.
And that's why Britain finally went to January 1st.
How old people are.
Exactly.
Do I qualify for Medicare? I'm like, I've been
that's
around
right.
for 65 like solar years,
that's
but
right.
according to the calendar.
Well, the 18th century had the shift from the Gregorian calendar.
Yep.
And it's just so fascinating to see what was happening time-wise. And this is a great week for that. So we have these bookends of these events today. In fact, if I was thinking about today specifically, we have, a few good things. Chewing gum. the first patent is issued to that in 1869. Now, can you imagine? I guess they chewed on bark or, gristle or something.
Yeah, like whatever they could That's get right. their hands on pens. I always chew on pens when I was.
There you go. Yeah. Pencils. How?
Yeah, there you go. Pencils. Without pencils? Yeah. William Finley Semple is issued the first patent for chewing gum. An orthodontist for generations thanked him or cursed him. I'm not sure.
Exactly.
Gave him a lot of hassle and made them That's a lot it. Of money. I'm not sure.
Well, Amelia Earhart takes her first flight on this date in 1920, and she gets the bug. She has to fly, and they say the rest is history. Also, 1895 is when the first paid movie screening, when Auguste and Louis Lumiere start showing their short little films, those motion pictures, moving pictures that were so amazing, and began a whole trend that, you know, we go to the movies or watch them all the time.
Prior to that, they couldn't get to people to pay for movies. All the coffee shop owners were like, no, we won't pay you. You'll get paid in exposure.
Yeah, you wonder paid, that exposure. Paid? I mean, there's volunteer movies that are going on.
They had to have done movie screenings that they just invited people to show up and was like, all right, here, this is our technology.
I would not pay for that. No.
No. I would pay for wine.
The Eiffel Tower, maybe,
wine,
but not this.
Fromage. No, paid for the Eiffel Tower. It is ugly and hideous. That's a really big advance, though, because it makes this like a viable,
huge
something you can monetize.
That's right.
Yeah.
And there's actually a Carolina connection to this because George Eastman had an estate here in North Carolina, second largest to Biltmore in size, and it was his second home. And, of course, he's the guy who comes up with Kodak film. But when he's first experimenting with this, he's trying it on paper and on glass plates. Finally, the celluloid seems to be a good, stable substance, but how to get it through to commercially package it. And so sprocket holes are invented, and sprocket holes are what Edison sees and goes, oh, moving pictures. We can actually mathematically then
I can steal this idea, too.
So it's all very interesting how it all connects. There always seems, I feel like, you know, it's a big frat Greek wedding where the father says, oh, yes, it all goes back to the Greeks.
Greek,
it seems like everything goes, oh, well, it all has a Carolina connection here.
Yeah.
But there is one today that actually has a Hillsborough connection, and it's about John Lawson. On this date, December 28th, 1700, the English explorer John Lawson sets out to explore this new kind of part of the country that has just not been explored before, and what we call North Carolina, and begins this big circuit and swings through what we now know as Hillsborough, and talks about the Okanichee that he finds there. And that opens up people's minds to the idea that the interior of the state is rich in resources, and the rivers that are here excites people's imaginations so that it really expands people's idea. And we see a huge amount of exploration over the next half century as colonists pour into North Carolina looking for this new land that John Lawson, we can be thankful for, opened up. Of course, he is actually later captured by Indians and then...
like you do.
and they don't take so kindly to him and the Indians' fate there. But, you know, these are things
that
happen.
If you keep telling historical stories long enough, you'll get to the sordid part, and then you just have to hope you come back out of it. Yeah.
But there's always New Year's.
There's always New Year's, right.
Which is kind of fun. That is coming up on the 31st, and that is something that everybody has their own things that they do, whether it's New York Times, here in the United States or in different parts of the world. We've all seen how different countries celebrate fireworks, the acorn. Most recently, the acorn is, of course, in Moore Square in Raleigh. Mm-hmm. But there's also another one, which is just started recently, in, of a possum drop.
Oh, the possum drop,
which is both humorous and also... got a lot of people saying, no, you shouldn't be doing that to a live possum. I can't tell that the possum really seems to care much.
I don't know. I haven't seen the possum drop.
No, they haven't.
I feel like people hear a possum drop and they get this image in their heads of like an actual possum actually being like dropped, which would be problematic and you shouldn't do it.
But I think it's like a controlled lowering. They did have a real one in a box, but it's like, I'm not exactly sure why this is. I think it's just because it's so funny to think about. But maybe not
the question
possum
is getting
lovers.
The possum into and out of the box. Yes. What is the process is what I want to know. Like gently lowering a possum down to the ground is okay.
Now, you know, the other end of this, which is on the 25th, now it's not just Christmas that we can think of. And, you know, you were talking about this, how these holidays change and that we have the North Carolina Assembly passing the law. But there's also something else that happens. It's really significant. 1776, George Washington crosses the Delaware for a surprise attack on the German Hessians, the mercenary troops in Trenton, New Jersey. And the attack is successful. And, of course, we remember the, you know, the great painting of Washington ahead of the boat as it's being rowed across. But that was pretty significant. Yeah. And taking that whole army by surprise. The Germans are celebrating, oh, it's Christmas, yeah.
Shouldn't have done that. Should have learned from the Puritans kept the watch. And I did a sketch comedy show in Chapel Hill a few years ago. And one of the best sketches that we ever performed as part of this show was just two Hessians standing on the Delaware taunting Washington as he was trying to cross.
I would have loved to see that
it's
show.
It was a good sketch.
Oh, gosh. Well, there's another thing that happens on the 26th. And that is Boxing Day. Now, that's an English term, but it dates back to the 17th century. And it's this idea that especially people who were in the servant class would get a box of goods, and typically because the wealthy were enjoying Christmas.
Right.
This is the idea. And so the next day is like, well, let's give them a day off, the one day off a year they might have
to go
to their family. But that's something that's still celebrated today.
So wait, 17th century in England, when in the 17th century? Because that's at the same time that, like, the Puritans are on the rise.
That's
so that
true.
Would, like, be the last time in English history that I would expect them to invent a new holiday of celebrations and gift-giving.
All right, well, this the one we have here is a mention in Samuel Pepys' diary for the 19th of December, 1663.
Okay.
So this is 40 years after the Pilgrims. So
right, and like right after Cromwell collapses, right?
Right.
So okay, so this is like celebrating the demise of the Puritans by celebrating Christmas again. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Gotcha,
you're right.
Gotcha,
trying to figure out when these things happen is as important as anything else. And that's what we have to do sometimes. We'll look and we go, when did this happen?
Yeah. Well,
let's try to keep it in context of how did this occur? And that's why history does matter, because you really begin to see the interaction of these historical events with things that happened today.
And they all have Carolina connections.
They do. Here's another one.
All right, here we go.
Okay, December 27th, 1927, Oscar Hammerstein and Jerome Kern's musical Showboat premieres at the Ziegfeld Theater on Broadway. And it's considered by some to be the first true American musical play and features the classic number Old Man River. Now, the background of this is that the woman, Edna Ferber, who wrote this novel, actually came to North Carolina and saw a showboat here in North Carolina, talked with performers who liked her work, and that gives her the inspiration.
Like, spend some time on
the
boat,
gosh,
too,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
Well, you know, it's so interesting because you look at these maps, especially in the 18th century and 19th century, as people faithfully, after John Lawson, they're finding where all these rivers, and North Carolina is marked by a number of major tributaries that come well inland. And at one point, there were paddle steamers coming up from the coast, Wilmington, up the Cape Fear River, all the way to Cross Creek, what we now call Fayetteville. You know, it's just hard to believe that we had our version of the Mississippi and, you know, Mark Twain right here, and that was a port, though I don't know how it did. We didn't have Mark Twain, but we have enough humor here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but I can imagine the life of people, like, on a showboat going up and down the river and just, like, going from town to town and performing, and the lives of the people in the town who, when the boat comes, everyone pours out because this is a big deal when the boat shows up.
Oh, yeah. And, well, just the idea of being able to travel and get entertainment,
yep,
and
yep.
then you arrive somewhere else and you take the boat back down. It sounds like a marvelous sort of thing that we could do today, but we have TV and...
Showboat's a good musical. This is the New Jersey connection for me on Showboat is the original when it came out, and then the first film that came out in the 30s. It was filmed a couple of different times, but the first one starred Paul Robeson, who is this absolutely brilliant thinker, writer, actor, incredible singer, African-American, so almost no opportunities for him in the 1920s and 30s, but he stars in Showboat, and he rises to as much fame as he can possibly get to as a black performer in the 1930s, and now pretty much everything in New Jersey is named after him at Rutgers University, because he went there, so, and like pride of the campus that Paul Robeson went there, so like the entire Newark campus is just named after Paul Robeson.
Well, you know, this it says so much about how oftentimes we've seen this happen, that you just see extraordinary people rise to the occasion, and they're the ones that make the difference and change history as we know it. Either it's Paul Robeson, Amelia Earhart, or some of the other people that we run into, we go, who are these people that are so extraordinary in their personalities that they shift people's perception of what's possible and expand the nature of what it's possible to be as a human being and what we should be doing in terms of a nation and as a country and really in the world.
Yeah. Speed with Scott Washington. We got time for a couple of more. I'm going to let you take it away.
All right. Well, let's see.
I got to shout out Andrew Johnson, who was born tomorrow in history.
Thank you.
Tennessee, associated with Tennessee, but actually born in Raleigh.
Yes.
And I really am thinking about Andrew Johnson this week because I just finished reading a big old book on Reconstruction by Eric Foner. So talking about the sordid story of the Carolina connection.
Yes. And we're Andrew Johnson.
Andrew Johnson, not the hero of that book, as it turns out.
Well, and just to remind people, Andrew Johnson is the vice president to Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
When Lincoln is assassinated, Johnson takes over as president, but runs afoul of many things because, of course, he is a Southerner. Mm-hmm. And while he was born here and he was in Tennessee, he's trying to carry on Lincoln's policy of reconciliation, but there is great antagonism. And he actually faces impeachment and almost removal. And I think it's within one vote.
One vote,
That prevents him from being removed. But that raises the other issue here that happens this week when you find amnesty declared for so many of the people involved in the Civil War.
Also on Christmas Day, of all things.
Which I suppose,
like, Christmas Day is the day when you would issue a bunch of pardons, not necessarily.
And, you know,
these aren't the ones that look good in history, but.
And I think there's a place for that, and certainly we've seen that, like, in South Africa with the reconciliation that went on there. But there's also a place for education.
Mm-hmm.
And the failure to do that other part of the equation, which was to educate what was happening, led to not only we had troops here in the South, but we weren't educating people to why this happened and why it was constitutionally wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see the rise of this. You just can't educate some things out until you have that. you can't prevent it unless you talk about it. And that wasn't the other step that wasn't done. We did the amnesty. That was good. But we didn't talk about why this was wrong in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's taken a lot more time, and why laws and policies are so important. So, Andrew, you can even go in Raleigh and go visit his birthplace. Which is kind of cool.
All right. One more. What do you got?
Well,
Of the dozens that we have to choose from.
I know. Let's talk about one other, which is the 31st.
Uh-huh.
And we think of it as, of course, New Year's, which it is. It's also when Ellis Island opens in 1890. And in a time when we have so much debate about immigration and so on, to realize that this has always been part of our nation's mission, symbolized by the Statue of Liberty in the harbor that greeted so many immigrants, but also Ellis Island itself that welcomed people. And that's been part and parcel of what this country has always been about for eons, and I hope for a long time to come.
Absolutely. That is This Week in History. Scott Washington, as always, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Aaron, as always.